Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. It's always a pleasure to enjoy and share in the Lord's table together. I want to thank our pastoral resident and our minister in training, Lisa Bryson and Will Eastham, for bringing us to this point of worship along with our worship team. You are now at the end of a three-week series that we've been journeying together called A Better Start. And so as I go into today's message, the title for today's message is I'm Just Getting Started. Next week, we have the State of the Church address, a very important report on how we're doing as a church, as well as I want to bring you up to speed on where we are with the first fruits offering. Also, I would just say, please pray with me as I preach this message. You can hear a little congestion in my body, which I think is actually an object lesson for what we are talking about today. And so, Lord Jesus, just give me the strength as I preach, and we pray, God, that as the word goes out, that no distraction would take place, even in my own congestion. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So we are all a part of a different generation. We are a multi-generational church. And it's in that vein that I have this one question. What decade in your life do you think is the best decade of your life? What decade in your life do you think is the best decade of your life? Your 20s? 30s? 40s, 50s. And by the way, is your best decade behind you, in front of you, or do you feel like you're in it now? Of course, we know that God is sovereign and that none of us can lay claim on any decade in our lives. We're just happy to be here even now. But we also know that tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. I think all of us saw that a couple of weeks ago if you heard about the football player for the Buffalo Bills who fell and collapsed, and it looked like he was not just unconscious, but he may not actually live. In the middle of the game, he fell out. And as we saw the highlights of that, if we weren't watching it, if we heard about it, or if we saw it, in that moment, it reminds us that even the healthiest among us cannot lay claim on our lives as if it's our own. Thank God that this football player, Damar Hamlin, is recovering well and is surviving a shocking brush with death. Praise the Lord. But today I want to talk with you about aging, dying, and your eternal life beyond this physical world. Because aging is something that we must all think about at some point, especially as some of us are in the second half of our lives. For Damar Hamlin, his collapse took place in the first quarter of the football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Ironically, they're going to be playing again today in the playoffs this afternoon. Well, while he collapsed in the first quarter, the reality is some of you are in the first quarter of your lives. Others of you are in the second quarter of your lives. Some of you are approaching halftime or moving toward the third quarter of your lives. Others, you are in the fourth quarter, maybe even in the red zone, which is a football term used to define how close you are to the goal line. And for some of you, by God's grace, you may actually be in overtime. From decade to decade, there are many different things to focus on while we age, according to senior consultant and author Bob Beal. In his book, Decade to Decade, he associates an S word with each decade. So for your teen years, from maybe 10 to 20, the S word is self. The question you may be asking at that age is, what does it mean to be me? In the 20s, it's survival. Can I survive in the adult world? In the 30s, Success. How successful can I be? In the 40s, significance. Is any of my life or any of my work significant? In 50s, the S word is stride. Am I over the hill? Oh, and where do I go from here? In the 60s, strategic. How can I maximize my income and influence? 70s, the word succession. Who will be my successor? 80s, the word slippery. How much can I count on my health and wealth? 90s, sleep. How long before I get to sleep? And regardless of your age or your stage in life, if you live long enough, you will go through the aging process. And for those who are over 100, I would say you're probably in overtime. My mother used to always say, if you live long enough, son, you will, and then she'd fill in the blank. You will need someone to help you up the steps one day. If you live long enough, son, you'll understand about paying bills. If you live long enough, son, you'll know what it's like to have to raise your own children. If you live long enough, you will have experiences from decade to decade. Now, just to level set where we are in the congregation, where you are at home, whether you're in your car or at your desk or in your living room, wherever you might be as you're hearing this message, maybe on podcast, maybe at another campus, we can level set by talking about the seven living generations that we're all in. Everyone under the sound of my voice is in one of seven generations. And you've heard it before, but for the oldest generation, they're known as the World War II generation. They were born between 1922 and 1927, ages 96 to 101. That would be my dad, Reverend Robert J. Anderson Sr. He was born in 1927. Then you have the post-war generation from 1928 to 1945, ages 78 through 95. I think you can have an example like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was born in 1928. Boomers. Boomers are from 1946 to 1964, from about 59 to 77. Examples like Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Brad Pitt, Deepak Chopra. Then you have Generation X. They're from 1965 to 1980, ages 43 to 58. You have examples like Elon Musk and Tupac Shakur, both of whom were born in 1971. That's just a fun fact. And of course, you have me. Yours truly, I fall into that category, Generation X. And then you have Generation Y, the millennials. Have you heard of them? 1981 to 1996, ages 27 to 42. Examples like Michael Phelps, or soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo, or Lionel Messi, or a millennial like Rihanna. I mean, whoever she is, I don't know. I had to Google her. Ages 27 to 42. And then you have Generation Z, also known as Zoomers, from 1997 to 2012. They're ages 11 to 26 now, Generation Z. People like the Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, Olivia Rodrigo, and Naomi Osaka, one of the top tennis players, 11 to 26, Generation Z. So you look at those generations and you say, wow, okay, where do I fit? Which one fits me? You said, Pastor, there are seven living generations, but you only named six in the chart. You said there were seven. Some of you may be thinking, what about me? I'm 10 years old. Some of you may be thinking, hang on, What about my two-year-old or my six-year-old or my eight-year-old child or grandchild, like Sean or Elle or Hakeem or Julia or Reese? Where do they fit in? Yep. What about those little rascals and bridge kids? Well, guess what? Guess what their generation's called? If you didn't know, now you know. Generation Alpha. They start back at the beginning of the alphabet, don't they? So you had the Zoomers or the Generation Z. Now you have Generation Alpha. And they will be the most ethnically diverse and transformative generation yet. Currently, Generation Z holds that spot. All of us are somewhere in the generational timeline, and we all have a chronological age. Having said that, what if I told you, according to Scripture, that you are actually ageless? How if I told you, according to Scripture, that you are spiritually eternal? You have no age, and you are not aging at all. Somebody say amen to that. The great news is that some of you are glad to hear that as you were looking in the mirror this morning, seeing those gray hairs popping out, wondering, am I really ageless? The reality is that the Bible says that eternity has been put in the hearts of men. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God is doing from beginning to end. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. Eternity has no limits, and it has no time or chronology. It just is. And there is a time, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. But notice that it says under heaven, where times and seasons exist, not in eternity. Now, above the earthly heavens, above the sun, the moon, and the stars, beyond human time and space, there's an eternity where time ceases to exist. And according to the Scriptures, we as human beings are eternal, and we are created as eternal beings. If this is the case, what does it mean? Well, it says in Genesis, right at the very beginning, in chapter 2, verse 7, that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being or a living soul. Jesus puts it this way in the New Testament. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. What I want you to understand is this, if you don't get anything else out of today's message, we are eternal beings who are caught up in earthly bodies. We are eternal beings caught up in earthly bodies. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, putting it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. See, our earthly bodies are just a tent. But our new resurrected bodies will be eternal, immortal, incorruptible, imperishable, and completely glorified when Jesus comes back again And just like he was after the resurrection, his body was glorified. So ours will be too. His body mattered. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 15, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. One day, everybody under the sound of my voice, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will be raised imperishable, incorruptible, in glory, in power, in a spiritual glorified body. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And in the mortal bodies that we now have, we give them over to God to allow the power of Christ to reign and to rule in them, as our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But these old bodies are flawed. They're fallen. They are feeble. Which reminds me of this quote that was sent to me by an unknown author. It says this, it's funny. Brain cells die. Skin cells die. Even hair cells die. But the fat cells in my stomach must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, since they seem to have eternal life. Thank God there will be no fat cells in heaven. Can somebody say amen? The good news is, even though we all have an age, we are not aging spiritually. Our spirit man, our spirit woman is ageless. Once you are born again, you mature, but you do not age. Now, wouldn't it be cool on this side of heaven to have maturity at the younger age? Can you imagine? You have the maturity of a 40-year-old, but actually you're only 14. Some of you would be dangerous in middle school. But the scripture tells us that our spirit is being renewed every single day. And what I want to do is give you a key verse to memorize with me. Who's up for it? Up for memorizing a verse with me? All right. Say 2 Corinthians 4:16. Type it in there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Repeat after me. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. One more time. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You got the verse? Where's it found? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let me tell you how to memorize a verse. Here's a little trick. Just like in sermons, it's the same with verse memorization. You have to remember the transitional words in the verse. When you remember the transitional words, it's like an on-ramp to the rest of the road or the rest of the sentence. So for instance, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, you have three words. If you remember those three words, it's going to help you. You ever try to memorize a Bible verse and someone said, just get me started? What that transitional word does, it just gets you started. So here are the three words. Therefore, though, yet. You memorize that, you're probably going to memorize the rest of the verse. But we stumble because we don't remember those transitional words or those conjunctions. So hopefully this is a tip that'll help you with Bible memorization. Therefore, though, yet. So let's try it with our verse again. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though, outwardly, I am wasting away. What's the next word? Yet, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Got it? So that's our memory verse. Say it all week long if you want to. And again, it's a verse that reminds me of my own body with a little cold and congestion. Though outwardly wasting away, inwardly being renewed day by day. And in the spirit realm, you are being renewed daily. You are growing in your spirit, man, growing in your spirit, woman, as you walk with Christ. Spiritually speaking, you are young and healthy. Next time somebody asks you how you're doing, if you don't say I'm alive and grateful, you can say I'm young and healthy. There was a guy in our church years ago. He used to be here on my staff. Jim Tyree was his name. And I asked Jim, hey, Jim, how you doing? He'd say, I'm young and healthy. And I wondered to myself, you don't really look young and healthy. Then I realized he wasn't talking about his physical self. He was talking about his spiritual self. And spiritually, your spirit is being renewed every day. Your spirit doesn't age. Your spirit has no age. You are an eternal being made in the image of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ and made alive in him. And this, my friends, is what gives you and I something called perspective. An eternal perspective. We memorize 2 Corinthians 4:16, 17 and 18 say this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is what? Temporary. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is what? Eternal. Romans 8:18 puts it this way. It says that I consider our present suffering doesn't even compare to the future glory that will be revealed in you. I don't know what you're going through, but it will not even compare to the future glory that is to be revealed in you. Thank God for eternal perspective so that we don't lose heart. Thank God for eternal perspective so that we can persevere during the hardest times on the earth. And this is why Paul writes in Colossians, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. A heavenly, eternal perspective will give you what you need in order to make it through the difficult times, regardless of what decade you're in, what generation you're in. So then you may ask, how can I become spiritually alive so that I can have an eternal perspective? You see, you can't have an eternal perspective if you're spiritually dead. That's why there's so much hopelessness on the earth, because if there's no eternal hope, then all you have is what's here. And if all you have is what's here, depending on the day, you could be hopeless to the degree of never wanting to exist again. But God wants you to be spiritually alive. So then as I move toward the ending of my message, the question becomes, how can I become spiritually alive? Well, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He gives you new life. You are then born spiritually. Or the way Jesus puts it in John chapter 3, you become born again. And until you are an eternal being that has spiritual life, then you are an eternal being that's spiritually dead. Remember I said earlier that we are all eternal beings caught up in physical bodies, and these bodies are aging and they can get sick and we can die physically? The eternal soul has two places that it will reside in existence, either in heaven with God, experiencing life and joy and fellowship and eternal happiness, or in hell, separated from God and others that you love in an existence of torment and regret. Nicodemus wanted to know about eternal life. And so he asked Jesus, this religious leader comes to Jesus at night. And Jesus tells him this in John 3:3. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Being born again means coming to spiritual life. Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's physical birth. Spirit gives birth to spirit. That's spiritual birth. And when the Holy Spirit touches your eternal soul, your spirit comes to life. And you can be an eternal being that's spiritually alive. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, your spirit man is quickened and you become alive in Christ. See, friends, there are a lot of dead men walking. They're eternal beings, but they're spiritually dead. And what Jesus is teaching us is that if you are born once only, physically, you will die twice, physically and spiritually, and spend eternity separated from God. But if you are born twice, physically, and then born again spiritually, you will only die once, and that's physically. And in John 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, yet to all who receive him, to all who believe in his name, to them he gives the right to become children of God. This is a beautiful verse. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural, nor of human decision or husband's will, born of God. Yet to all who receive him, believe on his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You see the equation? Receive plus believe equals become. Did you get it? Receive to all who receive him. Believe to all who believe on his name. He will give the right to become what? Children of God. Receive plus believe equals become. So here's the question. Are you spiritually alive? Or are you spiritually dead? I want to talk to both of you before I close. If you're spiritually dead, today is the day of salvation. You will not be dead anymore. You will become alive. Because Ephesians 2, verse 1 says we were dead in our transgressions. And so you may be dead in your transgressions, in your sins. But Jesus Christ is the one who came to make us alive. And this is important to understand because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Friends, the gospel message did not come to us to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. And you may be spiritually dead right now. You may say there's a lot of nice people in the world. There's a lot of kind people in the world. Jesus didn't come to make you nicer or kinder. He came to give you life. And once you have that life, the niceness and the kindness will come out. But we cannot say, just because there are a lot of nice people in the world, you can be nice and spiritually dead. Your grandma could be nice, but be spiritually dead. Your children can be kind, but be spiritually dead. I just want to raise a well-adjusted adult, yes, but I want to raise a well-adjusted adult that's spiritually alive. Because if you don't have spiritual life, you are a dead man walking. And you're an eternal being that will live forever by being dead forever in eternity separated from God, because separation means death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Today is this day of salvation for you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I want to be made alive. Ask him right now, wherever you are. Close your eyes. Even in this house. Pray this prayer if you've never invited Christ into your life. Say, dear Jesus, I want to be alive. Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Dear Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to be new. So I pray today that you'd save me in Jesus' name. Keep the cameras on me, not the audience. But I want to look to you in the audience. If you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just wave to me. Just wave to me. I prayed that prayer. Just wave to me. I see you. Just wave to me. I prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, what I want to say to those who are spiritually alive, I want you to know this. You have no fear. Do not lose heart because you are physically aging. Be encouraged, because while your body may be wasting away, you're still young and healthy. Your spirit is growing day by day. And this should encourage you. Let people know, I'm young and healthy. I memorized that verse. Outwardly, I may be wasting away, but inwardly, I am being renewed day by day. You ain't seen nothing yet, because I'm just getting started. Let me close with a story about this boy playing football. You know, he was in high school and he played, and honestly, he wasn't that good. He rode the bench more than his blind father, who came to every single game, and he sat on the bench every single game. He was there at practices, he was there at games, but his son didn't get a chance to play much. But every now and then, they'd put his son in. You know, he had a bit of an intellectual disability, but all the team loved him and let him hang around. But unfortunately, as their team was going to the championship, the blind father that was there every game, all the time, everybody knew him, he had passed away. And so the team was kind of sad, and they wanted to play this game for his blind dad. So as Johnny's sitting on the bench, as he normally does, he looks up into the bleachers, and his blind dad is not there. But they're playing this game as hard as they can. And they get down to the end of the game, and it's tied up. And they only have a few minutes left at the end of the game. And the coach says, you know, this is the last game. It's a championship game. Even though we're down to the wire, we're going to let Johnny come in. So he calls Johnny off the bench, and everybody on the field starts clapping, everybody in the bleachers start clapping, because they all knew his blind dad. So Johnny came in, and they played a normal play, and Johnny wouldn't really be a part of the play, but at least he gets to be on the field for a championship game. And so the quarterback gets the ball from the center. He snaps it. He gets the ball. And he looks to throw the ball, but he doesn't see anybody available. So he begins to run. But as he begins to run, all the defenders are about to tackle him. He had no way out, and the clock was down. But he looked up quickly, and guess who he saw? He saw Johnny. And so he says, oh, well, and he pitches the ball out to Johnny. Johnny catches the ball, surprised. He starts running, and he's running toward the end zone. And I don't know what possessed Johnny. All I know is that a guy tried to tackle him, and he stiff-armed him, and the guy fell to the ground. A next guy tried to come toward him, and like the Heisman Trophy, he did one of these moves, and that guy went flying that way. Now he's into the red zone, and he's about to get to that touchdown. But there's one more defender. I don't know what got into Johnny, but Johnny hurtled over him like he was a hurdler, right over the guy. And then Johnny does a flip in the end zone, throws his hands up, falls to the ground. The crowd goes crazy. Everybody runs to the end zone. They lift Johnny up. They're screaming. They win the game. Johnny was able to do it. Then they get back to the locker room, and they see Johnny in a corner, and he's a little bit weepy. And so the team goes over, and the coach goes over and says, Johnny, man, you won the game for us, man. And I know your father couldn't see it, but I want you to know we're all proud of you. And Johnny looked up at his coach. He says, no, coach, you're wrong. My daddy's in heaven. And this is the first game he's ever seen me play. So you need to know, no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive what God has in store for his people. Keep an eternal perspective. And no matter what physical ailments you have on this side of glory, you are not old at all. You're young and you're healthy because you have the Spirit of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly you may be wasting away, yet inwardly you are being renewed day by day. And all of Bridgeway said, amen and amen.